If you are a person who thinks it's a good idea to block traffic as a sign of protest, you're not a good person, you're not a hero, you are evil. You're evil. I said it. Oh boy, I'm going to really get it for that. No, you're evil. You know why? Because you're doing the protest because you care. You care so much about humanity that your answer is to mess up the lives of strangers who have nothing to do with your cause. Oh, we're so angry about Palestine, a place most of us don't even know where it is. Gun to our head, if you said, where is Palestine? We would go, no, we don't know. Is it somewhere over here? It's in the middle. I know that much. You don't even know the place you're protesting, but certainly the people that you're stopping from going to their airplane for your cause also probably don't care. Even if they care, what are they going to do about it? You want to go protest Joe Biden at the White House? I guess that could get something done, but not really. The guy who is running late for his flight, it's a big job interview, and oh boy, it's his big chance. Oh no. A bunch of evil idiots with signs blocking the entrance to O'Hare. And now I can't get to my plane, and now I gotta wait 3 hours for the next plane. I miss my big opportunity, and then I kill myself. All because you, dumb teenager, college kid, thought it was a good idea to disrupt everyone's day for a protest that none of us can do anything about. So what are you doing? I know what you're doing, and this is why you're evil. This is you going, look at how good of a person I am. Like, that's what your signs should really say. They should have nothing to do with your cause. They should just say, look at me, I'm a good person. I really molest children. But this way, if anyone looks, you know, if anyone doesn't look too closely at me, it'll look like I'm a good person and I'm up for causes. But the truth is, I'm really evil, so I have to overcompensate. And I know, I'm going to ruin everyone's day. I want all the people whose days I'm ruining to know what a good person I am. Hey, person who's honking his horn, who is freaking the hell out because you're not going to get to your flight. Look at how good a person I am. Look at, wait, hey, wait, why are you driving? Wait, whoa, whoa, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. You want to protest on the side of the road, in front of the president, anywhere except for blocking traffic, be my guest. It's your right. Once you've stepped into ruining other people's lives for your stupid cause, even if it's a good cause, given that it's not the only place you can do it, you're a bad person, and this is what's going to happen, you idiots. Eventually somebody, and it only takes one, and if I've learned anything about humanity, once one person decides to do it, everyone else just goes, all right, I guess we're doing it. One person is going to say, I've had enough of these idiots. He's going to hit the gas, and he's going to start mowing people down. And then the people behind him are going to go, you know what? He started it. Actually, they started it. The people who wanted to tell us how good they are. But this guy decided enough's enough, and let's all join him and mow all of these fuckers down. Let's mow them all down, and maybe the next time people go, maybe we shouldn't block traffic to the airport. And the reason I know that everyone else will follow the first guy is the same reason why everyone will sit at a train for 25 minutes. But the second that one person turns around and decides, there's got to be a way around this train, he peels out and then 25 cars follow him. Because it turns out most humans are followers. Which is why, you know, probably one person had the idea, let's block traffic to O'Hare, and then all the followers are like, okay, sounds great. But you're not a hero. You're not even getting anything done. So that's some zero is being achieved, except for you get to go home at night and pretend that you've done something good for the world. But instead, you really just ruined a bunch of people's lives. So congratulations, you stupid fucking idiot. If you don't like what I said, please leave a comment and then go fuck yourself. I was trying to do this podcast without swearing, but it just did not happen. And now, I'm going to go protest the fact that not enough people watch my videos. I'm going to go and I'm going to stand in traffic. You know what I'm going to do? What I'm going to do is I'm going to find a funeral, one of those funeral processions, and I'm just going to jump out in front of the hearse and I'm going to block them from getting to their cemetery because I'm a great person. So the solar eclipse was about a week ago, and it's an amazing thing if you can see the totality, right? I didn't get to see it. I only got to see 93%, but if you get to see the totality, like I had somebody say, like, what's the big deal? What's the, because I said it was life-changing, so I've heard. I've never even experienced it. But the person was like, what? Life-changing. What's the big deal? But the big deal is it doesn't happen that often. The next one's 20 years away. And two, the fact that it gets dark completely to the point where you can see stars in the daytime, that's pretty amazing. Anyway, what's the most amazing about the solar eclipse is how in the darkness, it really shone a light on how stupid some people are. Like they were hiding in the cracks and the crevices, and then the solar eclipse came out and boom, hey stupid, we see you. Now why don't you come out and show us how stupid you are? And what I'm talking about is all the crazy misconceptions about the solar eclipse. And I'm not even talking about people that don't understand astronomy. I'm talking about like that dumb idiot on The View who thought the solar eclipse was from climate change. Because that makes sense. And the worst part is, obviously it's not, because people predicted this eclipse hundreds of years ago, well before they knew about climate change. But you're on national television saying it with conviction, and even when your dumb little hens, Whoopi and all that, are trying to say, hey, you better back off the stupid. You're just plowing forward like you guys don't know what you're talking about. I know that the eclipse is caused by global warming. So we better all prepare for the rapture. Because I'm a dummy, and now everyone knows it. I mean, probably most people knew it anyway, but now really you know it. So there's that. Then you have all the dummies who think the end of the world is coming, which is fine back in the 800s. Like when the eclipse came, people got out of their huts. They banged pots and swords and stuff. Because they made noise, because they didn't know what to do. They thought a monster was eating the sun. So they're making a bunch of noise, and then eventually the monster goes away, and they go, see what we did? We got rid of the monster. But it's 2024, and there's a thing called the internet, which could be also the reason why so many idiots would think that solar eclipses are caused by global warming. But you should know better. Especially if you're on the television. But even if you're not on the television, I hear other things like, I had my neighbor say, oh, so I saw on the news that if you let your dog out during the solar eclipse, it'll hurt them. And I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. How How would that hurt your dog? She's like, I saw it on the news. Oh, man, I really hope she's okay. I hope she's okay because the news said that it'll hurt your pets if they're out in a solar eclipse. The only way it would hurt your pets is if they look directly into the sun, which they're not going to do because animals never do that. So what you probably saw the news do is a stupid puff piece about how during the totality of darkness, animals act weird. Birds stop chirping. Insects stop moving. It's not hurting them. They think it's dark now. So the worst that was going to happen to your dog is she thought it was dark, which I'm pretty sure doesn't hurt her. So this is the stuff that's going around, and the light is being shown. See, I'm shining a light on how stupid I am. Is it shown? Is it shined? I don't know. Anyway, my point is people are stupid, and the eclipse really brought it out. I get a lot of comments. Sadly, I get a lot of negative comments. But the one that I get more often than I would think is, okay, boomer. Or, somebody let grandpa out to play with his video phone. Because these idiots think that they're hurting me by calling me old. Which, I guess I'm old to you, 18-year-old, 20-year-old, but I'm not that old. But I don't understand why you think that's a good insult, considering you, dummy, are also going to be old. Like, you're making fun of the thing that you will one day, God willing, become. So what exactly are you doing? I get it if you want to make some fun of somebody because they're ugly, right? Because you think, I'll never be ugly, so I can make fun of that person because I'm evil, right? So the person who's saying, okay, boomer, is a bad person. Like, I hope they never get to be old. But most likely they will. So you're making fun of the thing that you're going to become, and that's just stupid. It would be like if you were in the dentist office, and as somebody's going in to get their teeth drilled, you're like, ha ha, stupid. Ha ha, you're getting your teeth drilled. Oh boy, I bet it's going to hurt. What? I'm next? Oh, probably shouldn't have made fun of him then. You see what I'm saying? Like, I get it. I get it because you're dumb. So you think you're hurting my feelings. But really, you're just showing how dumb you are. Like, you say, okay, boomer, but it really becomes a boomerang of stupidity that comes back and hits you in the head, you dummy. Welcome to part two of my ongoing war against the fruit flies. I don't know how to stop them. I've tried the apple cider vinegar traps. I probably have about 100 of them set up. That's an exaggeration. It's more like 99. So what are you doing, Dave? I got them set up in all sorts of big ones, little ones, under the sink, on the windowsill, in the bathroom, everywhere. I still don't know what the right formula is. I look online. Some people are like, half a gallon of dish soap and then a couple drops of apple cider. Yeah, because some people think that the dish soap is actually poison. Other people are like, no, it's almost all apple cider vinegar and a couple of drops of dish soap to break the surface tension. But then nobody will tell you, do you stir it or do you just leave it? Like, I don't understand what I'm doing. And every time I make one and I give it a day and I check the trap, there's nothing in there. I'm like, did I get the solution? Anyways. And then my other answer was to drag a Dyson vacuum around with me room to room. And I see one and I got to grab this hose and trip over cords and Anyway, my point is I've moved on to phase three, which is I bought a hand vacuum that now I carry with me. So when I see one, I don't have to fight with a big-ass vacuum. I can just grab it, get them. But here's the problem. That doesn't kill them. Now, the big vacuum, I don't know if it killed them or not because it went into a big drum. I'd never really checked it. But this one, there's a clear, you can vacuum them, look, and see they're still in there and they're still alive, which now brings me to, I don't like killing things. I believe that if you don't have to, you shouldn't kill something. Fruit flies have moved into the you should kill them because now it's an infestation. But at this point, I've got an alive one. Do I need to drown it? Or can I just take it far away from where I live and let it go, which is what I've been doing. Now I go out, like, I don't know, I'll take a good walk, and then I'll open up the vacuum and let them go. They'll probably come right back to my fucking house, because they know their way home or whatever, but in my mind, I'm thinking, maybe it's a situation where, you know how in medieval times they'll come in and kill everyone in the village except for one guy? And they'll tell that guy, like, you go and tell everyone else you know. I know most of the people you know are dead, but anyone else you meet, you tell them what we did here. That's what I think about the fruit fly. Like, you tell them about the massacre happening where you came from. Maybe they'll go somewhere else. Like, you don't want to go there. There's vacuums, there's traps. Some of them, he doesn't do the solution right, so we always laugh. We take a little sip of water, like, you dumbass. But it's a massacre no matter. He let me live. I don't know why, but so how about we find another house? That's what I'm hoping. That's what I'm hoping is happening. The truth is, I let them go. I turn around, they land on my shirt. I come back inside, they're back in my house. That's what's really. But at least I can pat myself on the back and pretend like I'm a hero. Like, yeah, look, I'm saving their lives. That only lasts 60 days, so what's the fucking point? When it comes to people who have passed along, we as humans have a pretty narcissistic idea of what they do in the afterlife, if there is an afterlife. I'm still on the fence about that one. But let's assume there is an afterlife. This just shows how narcissistic we are. We assume that they watch everything we do, that if we ask for a sign, they stop everything they're doing to give us a sign, or they talk to us, or they hear us when we talk. And lastly, that when we die, they will be waiting for us the second we die. And I think probably that's not true. In fact, I would hope it's not true because that's kind of shitty for the person who's dead. So wait a minute, I'm dead, I'm in heaven, but what? Now I got to spend the next how many years watching this dude take a crap, cry during movies? Occasionally he'll talk to me. And the only thing he ever says is, can you send me a sign? Like, how about a sorry? How about a sorry? And then when he dies, I got to stop everything I'm doing to go meet him? I think what really happens, I think that when you die, the people you love, they don't even know. Like, I imagine you die, you're like, what the hell? Am I dead? Pearly gates. That's a good sign, I guess. Let me just, where's St. Peter? Well, they lied about that, but they got the pearly gates right, so let me just walk down this cobblestone of gold. I don't know why you need gold in heaven. Seems like a overkill. Anyway, hello? Hello? Anyone? And then I imagine you stumble your way through heaven for like months. I'm saying months. And finally, you open up a door, and there's all your loved ones playing canasta. They're like, oh, hey, when did you get here? Oh, a couple of months, huh? Hey, I thought you guys were supposed to meet me. Well, why would you think that? Like, I'm supposed to stop what I'm doing to meet your dumbass? I knew you'd find us eventually, and you have all of eternity. So, yeah, and by the way, no, I haven't watched a single thing you did on Earth. I don't give a fuck. You know why? Because it turns out none of it matters. It's a blip. It's a blip. It's like me watching your dreams. How stupid is that? Like, hey, how come you weren't watching my dreams? So, you never came to me in my dreams then? All those times I thought it was you? No, that's stupid. Why would I do that? So, I'm going to not show up in a real Earth-like way. Instead, I'm going to come into your dreams where everything's all weird and confusing. That's just dumb on my part. Like, I need to send you this message, but oh, look, I'm all warped and distorted and I don't have words and dreams are mostly feelings anyway, so none of this matters. Anyway, my point is we got another seat at the canasta table because Ted just moved on to the next phase of whatever all this is. Turns out you die in heaven. So when I said eternity, I was lying. What's the word I'm looking for? I should know because I'm in heaven. You know, when you're he's being hyperbolic. One of the perks of being in heaven is you can recall things easier, but it still takes some time because, after all, we are just humans. Are we humans? I don't know. I don't know anything about heaven. I don't even know who's talking in this. Is it me now? Is it the other person? There are a lot of warnings before movies and television shows preparing me for what traumas await. Warning, strobe lights. Warning, depictions of suicide. Warning, smoking. But the one warning I never see, which I would like, is warning, pillow talk. I want this warning so I know how bad the writers of the show are. It's not like I'm traumatized by pillow talk. It's a litmus test to the quality of the writer of the movie or show. Because I've never once found a need for pillow talk or sex. I mean, there's a reason why it's called gratuitous sex. Because it's literally unnecessary. All you need to do, if you want to convey that people had sex, show that stupid flirty moment. We all know when it's coming. Oh boy, they're about to kiss. And then cut to the next morning, she's got a coffee, he's in his underwear or whatever. Side note, we don't need to see the guy's ass. That's something that people like to do. Like, nowadays it's not right to show naked women. So we'll just show dudes' asses. And then occasionally we'll actually show their penises. None of it's necessary, but that's why it's called gratuitous. Really, we should just call it, we got to make this episode 49 minutes. So 10 minutes of it can be just a waste of time. But I don't like gratuitous sex scenes, but I also don't like pillow talk. I don't need to see two people in bed chatting it up. You know why? Because it's never necessary. I skimmed through all pillow talk, which I gotta tell you, I skimmed through all pillow talk and I skimmed through all sex scenes, which made that Emma Stone movie, whose name I can't think of. That was a great movie. I got through it in 4 minutes. She should have won for best actress. Anyway, I skimmed through all of that, and you know what's never happened to me? Never. I've never skimmed through pillow talk or a sex scene and then suddenly been confused about what's happening. Like, oh my God, what did I miss? What was the mystery? Oh no, now I gotta go back and watch the pillow talk. Turns out it actually had something to do with the plot. But that's never happened. Never once. Never once. And I get to watch shows much faster. And fuck you to the writers who are too stupid to actually write content. I don't even know why I'm watching your show. I think a lot, but the problem is there are good shows that do it anyway as filler, or they think that's what we want. Like, am I alone? Are there people who are like, this show's great, but where's the pillow talk? Where's the gratuitous sex where they're not actually even having sex? So what's the point? But I like it because, I don't know, I guess I'm dumb. I need a break from the cerebral stuff. Like if Christopher Nolan subscribed to the dumb rule that you have to insert sex scenes, he wouldn't be the great writer that he is. And a movie like Tenet, halfway through the movie, they'd be like, oh, we just need to have sex. People are way too confused by what's happening in this movie, so let's calm it down and just have 20 minutes of sex that means nothing. Like, literally, they could fast forward through this. Or would they go backwards in time and then come back and are they watching the same sex scene, but at the same time, they're going backwards towards the place where they rented it? Because in this reality, it's DVDs. Anyway, my point is, warn me about the pillow talk so I can decide whether or not to watch your stupid show. Because quite frankly, the fast forwarding, it's great depending on what platform you're using. There's the ones where they let you see the pictures as you fast forward so you can get an idea where to go. But other ones, they don't even show you where you're going. So now you're fast forwarding. Do I do it 10 seconds at a time? Do I do one arrow, two arrows, three arrows, 4 hours? Oh, now it's over. So as you can gather from the views of this video and many others on my channel, I'm not rolling in the money. In fact, I'm not making any money doing this. So what I have to do to make money is one of the things is I deliver food for the DoorDash and the Uber Eats and the Grubhub. But a message I get far too often from a customer is I am on the way to pick up the food and they'll message me and say, please don't steal my food. Which is weird to get that. But I get it all the time. Which means that they've experienced not once, not twice, enough times to make sure to message me a driver who was supposed to get their food just stole it. Which I know happens. I know it because restaurants have... So let's back this up a little. The one thing I've learned about delivering food is human beings are garbage. Not all of them, but enough of them to change the way everyone else has to act. So when this whole thing first started, the whole, you can have your food delivered. Restaurants said, oh, great, a way to make a little extra money. Not as much as we should. Turns out Uber, DoorDash, and Grubhub really take their fair effing share. Anywho, we'll make a little extra money. We'll make the food. We'll stick it on a shelf. We'll label it with the person's name. The driver comes in. They grab it. Off they go. Smooth sailing, right? What you didn't account for was the garbage human beings who just walk in and steal anything. They don't even care. They're like, I don't know what's in here. I'm just going to steal it. And every single restaurant, it doesn't take long. I always laugh because occasionally a new restaurant will open up. And they'll think, we'll just stick the stuff on the shelves. It'll go nice and smooth. I'll go in there a week later. The shelves are behind the counter. And what happens is every restaurant decides, well, we can't leave them out because humans are garbage. Or there's enough garbage humans that now when the driver comes in, they have to ask the person behind the counter. They have to bother them from the job they should be doing so that they can now retrieve the order for the driver. So I laugh every time a new restaurant thinks they think that they're going to put it on their shelves. I'm like, yeah, let's see how long that lasts. And then a week later, I'm like, oh, what happened? What, people stealing them? Yeah. Yeah, shocking. I know, I talked to a manager at Potbelly who, both of us, we commiserate because we can't believe that these companies like DoorDash and Uber allow anybody to deliver food. All you need is a driver's license and a car. And you're supposedly supposed to pass a background check, but it must not be very thorough considering the amount of drivers who are stealing food. And it's not always drivers stealing food off the shelves. Those are just other garbage humans. But we commiserate. And every once in a while, I'll see that she's decided to put the food back on shelves because they got this nice setup. They got the shelves. They got a display on top that tells you if the order's ready. And she told me, oh, yeah, no, we're putting them back on the shelves. I said, really? Because you know what's going to happen. She's like, I know. But, you know, corporate. Corporate operates in this delusion that humans are great. So we'll do what they say for a week. And then when they're like, where's our profits? We'll be like, you assholes told us to put the food in the steel section. The garbage human steel section. That's what you told us to do. And now our profits are down. And they're like, we're not how dare they? Humans are terrible. We need you to put the stuff back behind the counter. But the other phenomenon, this one is more baffling to me. Like, I get it. The humans are garbage. And they're going to, some of them are going to decide, like, hey, did you know that Chick-fil-A just sticks their food out? Well, let's just go in there and steal it. But apparently drivers are also stealing food, which this one makes no sense. So when you go to pick up the food, restaurants make you confirm the order. Because what drivers do is they pick up the food, and then they tell DoorDash, I didn't, or they'll cancel the order. They pick up the food, they cancel the order, and then they get free food. So then restaurants are like, you need to confirm the order so that DoorDash knows you picked it up. And now if the food doesn't get to the customer, we know where it went. But this shouldn't be happening. And it's the stupidest ruse ever. So let me get this straight. In order to get a meal that maybe is $10, you're going to sign up for these companies. You're going to wait the 2 weeks to get approved. Then you're going to drive to the store, steal the food, and eventually what will happen is you'll get deplatformed because you do this like 3 times in a row, and the restaurant's like, yeah, we sent that order out. Your driver didn't deliver it. A lot of work to go through to steal maybe $30 worth of food. And you know what you could have done, you fucking moron? Is deliver a couple orders and you would have made the $30 and you could have bought the food legit and not risked going to hell. Because that's where you're going, Mr. Garbage Person. Yeah, and I heard there's a shelf in hell, too. Like, you walk in, you're like, oh no, flames. Ah, I had a feeling. And Satan's like, we don't know what your torture's going to be. But, you know, we do have a program where every once in a while, somebody gets to just go to heaven, even if they're a bad person. All you got to do is go over to that shelf and pick up a bag. Yeah, just pick up a bag and one of them has a lucky go to heaven. None of them do. No, they're all torture. They're all torture because I'm Satan. Yeah, I get a kick out of it. Anyway, so garbage humans, welcome to Earth. This is where we live. The only thing that might be happening that might let humans off the hook from being garbage is obviously, you know who's stealing all this food? It's the Hamburglar. McDonald's is like, we need to snip the competition. Hamburglar. I know you haven't been active for 50 years because you're kind of politically incorrect, but we need you. We need you to go to all the other restaurants and steal the delivery food. If they're dumb enough to put it on the shelves, you take it. Also, if they're going to have it behind the counter, still go in, take the delivery, see if they're going to force you to confirm it. And if they ask you weird questions like, oh, wait, you're here to pick up a delivery, and you're with your stupid hat and your weird eye disguise like the Lone Ranger. And then they'll be like, could you please confirm the order? You're like, and you just run out the door because you're the Hamburglar. And yes, you'll be easy to describe to the police, but the police have been chasing you for 60 years, ever since McDonald's has been in. So that's my theory. It's either garbage humans or the Hamburglar, except for the part where I go to McDonald's. They also have all the food behind the counter because. So maybe it's the Hamburglar stealing from all the other restaurants, but then garbage humans are stealing from McDonald's. That must be what it is. Anybody who has pets has a fantasy that when we die, we'll be greeted by our pets. All of them. The ones we had when we were kids, all the way up to the ones that we had whenever we died, hopefully in old age. Hopefully old age with that cat who knows that we're going to die because cats apparently have some sort of sixth sense, at least according to old folks' homes. They're like, uh-oh, Fluffy's been visiting Margaret a little too much. Well, we better call her family and tell them they should come in. Because we all know the cats predict you're dying. And then they eat your face if you die alone. Anywho, we believe that we'll see our pets. I think, though, that's not great for me. Because I think a lot of my pets are going to be pretty angry at me. Because of how easily I've forgotten them. Like, don't get me wrong, I loved them at the time. And every once in a while, I go, oh, yeah, that was a great dog. But it's not like they're on the top of my mind. Sometimes I have to, like, jar my mind. Oh, that's right, I had that dog. That's forgot about that. And they are definitely not top of mind in, people I've known are in my mind and heart most of the time. My pets, it's not like I wake up every day thinking about my pets that have passed away. I just don't. I don't. I don't know. Does that make me weird? Normal? I don't know. My point is, they're going to be mad when they are in heaven. Like, oh, man, you barely ever thought of me. I mean, shit. I die. You had another cat like 3 months later. And then I don't think I ever recall you thinking about me or looking at pictures of me or watching old videos. In fact, if I remember anything, anytime you tried to watch videos of me, you turned it off because it was too sad. I guess that's kind of something. You should have forced yourself to watch me. Because now here I am. I'm forced to meet you. One of God's rules. But I'm kind of pissed. So I'm going to turn my back to you. I'm going to turn my back, lift my tail so you can watch my cat ass leave you. The worst part of this is I don't even have any other humans to go to. You're the only one I knew on Earth. So I'll be back, but just know I'm mad. Also, how does that work? Right? These are the things about the afterlife that always trip me up. So, all right, let me get this straight. So my pets are going to meet me in heaven. But even my childhood pets, because shouldn't they already be hanging out with my parents, who I'm hoping by the time I die, they've pooped on. I'm not saying I hope they die. I'm just hoping I live to an old age. And if they're still alive, that would be a miracle. So what? My childhood dogs now are going to hang out with me, but shouldn't they already be hanging out with my parents? And then does that mean I got to hang out with my parents in heaven? Because I don't like that. So, see, it already falls apart. The whole thing falls apart. But if it's true, my pets are going to be pissed. hey, food, stop talking to me. What I mean is, companies are stupid, and now they've decided we're going to have our food talk to you. Like my seltzer water, the top of the cap says, hey, you. Or you go to Taco Bell, and the hot sauce packets are like, you ready? Are you ready? We're going to do this. Or we're going to have a flaming great day. I don't need my food to talk to me. How lonely do you think we are, corporations? Oh, I lost everyone in my life. It's just so sad. I think I'm gonna... I would have a drink, but part of the reason my life's so sad is that I was an alcoholic, so I guess I'll have a seltzer water, a little bubbly. Oh, hey you. Well, hey you back. Grapefruit flavored bubbly. How are you doing? Is there anything else on this can? That's kind of a short-sighted conversation. You know what? Maybe they want me to have the conversation over a couple of cans. Let's see this one. Oh. Feel better. Thanks, bubbly. Thanks. Of course, that would have been weird if I wasn't feeling down in the dumps. Now you're just assuming whoever's drinking your product is depressed. Hey, taco sauce packet. Ooh, boy, I can't wait to eat your inferior tacos. But you know what? Just to make them more palatable, let's throw a little hot sauce on there. Am I ready? You bet I am. Oh, let's get this. Let me get a mild sauce. I am the greatest. Thanks for telling me, mild sauce. Goo, 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 goo. Oh, hey, Chick-fil-A. Thank you for my order. Oh, I'm going to have my... Oh, it is a sunshiny day. Thank you. What are we doing? What are we doing? I get it. Corporations pander. That's what they do. They'll annoy 100 people with this stupid crap for the one person who's like, oh, they really care. They really care. They don't care. Corporations make Hitler... they put Hitler back to his painting days when he wasn't evil. That's how evil corporations are. Trust me. They do not care about you. Whatever messages they're putting on... Whatever messages they're putting on there are all manipulation. To get that couple of percent of people who are so dumb that... they fall for it. So dumb that when they walk into Panda Express and everyone stops and goes, hi, welcome, including the guy whose back is to you working on the wok. They're looking for the dummy who goes, oh, it's so nice how every time I walk into Panda Express, they greet me. Instead of most of us who are like, what the hell? That was just jarring. And not natural at all. Why did every single employee... It felt like I just walked into some sort of horror movie. Like, I don't think I'm leaving this Panda Express based on the way that every employee just turned like, hi, welcome. Hi, welcome. Don't worry about the doors that are now locked. So corporations are out to trick you. And sorry, Taco Bell. Sorry, bubbly water. You're not getting me. I am not falling for your crap. Wait, what is my iPhone trying to say to me? Oh, hi, iPhone. Yeah, I think that was a good podcast. Thank you. Yeah, I'm gonna take you now into my bed and let's cuddle. I'm going to cuddle and cry while you say more things to me. Yeah, thanks, iPhone.